Isaiah chapter 33 tonight. Isaiah chapter 33. In the days of Isaiah, somewhere around 700 BC, the kingdom of Judah facing perilous times, Assyria, who was a conquering empire, was advancing and approaching from the north, conquering kingdom after kingdom as they came. And even the northern kingdom of Israel had already at this point been taken into captivity. And as Assyria drew near to Jerusalem, the people were undecided as to where to turn. Some thought that they should give themselves up to the Assyrians. Others thought that they'd look to the south, down to Egypt, maybe for some help. Maybe Egypt would be a good ally. Isaiah is sent by God to warn the people to do neither. The key to their salvation was going to be to trust in Him, to trust in the Lord, not men. The Lord would provide the stability that they would need to get through the situation when all else seemed lost. And so in this passage, we find one exhortation for them to put their trust in the Lord. The New King James Version speaks here of wisdom and knowledge as the stability of your times. And of course, it is wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Lord. You remember thinking back to the time of Solomon, who he says he sought after wisdom. Now, he is given wisdom of the Lord, but he sought after wisdom, implying that he was looking for something beyond that, something else, something like from the world, right? Other translations, the New American Standard says, He shall be the stability of your times. The New International Version rather says, He shall be the sure foundation of your times. Just to emphasize the point here, what we're talking about tonight is the key to stability in our lives. And though we're removed from the days of Isaiah by several thousand years, the counsel that was given by him to Judah is true for us as well. And it is the case that in difficulty or troubled times, anxious times, stressful times, the Lord is the one who provides that stability for us. There are some unstable things that are around us. We know this. We face many disturbing things in life. Mentioned this morning, there are a great number of forces at work in the world today, some of which try to undermine our faith, try to dissuade, if you will, the influence of God's Word in the world, try to seek to cause us to have hardened hearts, seek to make us maybe spiritually lazy, we talked about, to be negligent in our growing in our faith in Christ and in His Word and in the knowledge of God. But I think about Job and what he faced in life. The loss of his children, his livelihood, his friends, his position, nearly his wife, but never his faith in God, amazingly. What a powerful, powerful lesson Job is for us. But it does remind us that sickness and death and natural disasters, inflation, recession, unemployment numbers, COVID, whatever it is, shutdowns, violence, diseases, all those things around us, that so often any of these things could likely cause any of us at any point in time to have anxiety, to cause us to fear, to cause us to be anxious, to cause us to be stressed, could even cause us to go so far as even into depression. And even we as Christians might be tempted to complain, to murmur, and to forget that we actually have reason to rejoice no matter what is going on around us by way of circumstances. some people do not even seem fazed. When we look around and you see someone who you know is going through something, and yet they just seem to just take it in stride, right? Doesn't seem to affect them. And we wonder, how is that the case? Experiencing the same things maybe that we're experiencing in life. Things that would devastate others maybe. Maybe it's devastated us. The same financial crisis, the same diseases, the same uncertainties in life. Somehow they find cause for joy. And they find stability in their lives. And I believe it's the case what they have figured out is what we find here in verses 5 and 6 in Isaiah 33. The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And verse 6 says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Let's think about those things together then. The stability that is provided by the Lord. It comes to us through wisdom and through knowledge. And verse 6 makes that very clear in this passage. And such wisdom and knowledge can help us to face life and everything that it throws at it. In fact, if you want to put your marker there, but go ahead and turn over with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice verse 3 and following. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. That's not just a worldly knowledge, a cursory knowledge about something, just knowing the facts about something. That is divine knowledge that comes from heaven, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, and for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Those things that we talked about in our lesson this morning. But notice then he's talking about that knowledge that comes from above, the type of knowledge that had been already given to Solomon. That knowledge that has given the ability to guide us through all of those circumstances, all of those difficulties, facing all of those things in life, and even helping us and protecting us in the pitfalls of life. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Actually, verse 5, it says, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. That's what we were talking about this morning. But notice the connection that he makes. This is alongside of wisdom and knowledge that comes from above. He says, and then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. It gives us a way to be able to look out into the world, see the circumstances that we're facing, see the difficulties that are around us, see the stress, see the things that are causing us to be anxious, whatever they are, we know the path. We know the good path to take because He has shown us that in His Word. And this wisdom and knowledge then helps us to face life and everything that it might possibly throw at us. But it also, in the next chapter, chapter 3 of Proverbs, drop down to verse 21. Proverbs 3:21 says, my son, Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul, grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked, literally from the wicked one, when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. So verses 21 through 26 here remind us that He has provided for us comfort. He has provided for us protection. He has provided for us confidence to be able to get through those pitfalls and difficulties of life. In that time of turmoil, we know the direction we're supposed to go already because we have that wisdom from above. And God provides that wisdom for each of us. James writes in James 1, beginning in verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed with the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Did you catch that? A double-minded man, he's unstable. He doesn't have the stability that he needs in life, in other words. And so that stability that is provided by the Lord comes through wisdom and knowledge. But it also, according to verse 6, comes through salvation. There is something comforting, I believe, and securing and reassuring for each of us about salvation when we think about salvation itself. And Isaiah refers to it here as the strength of salvation. When all else has failed us, so to speak, when everything else is fleeting from us, as a child of God, we still have salvation. And we can find strength in it, and even it alone, to get through the day. Or maybe just to take the next step in front of us. And then the next step, finding a reassurance and a security and comfort in that idea of salvation. The salvation of the Lord helps us in facing death. I believe it's the case because knowing that we are saved in view of eternity, that even in the face of death itself, we can find comfort. We might even be able to find joy if our minds focused on the right things. We can certainly better face adversity when it comes our way with the circumstances of life. So think about that. This idea of stability provided by the Lord. First coming by way of wisdom and knowledge. Think about wisdom and knowledge then helping us every day in our life, and the strength of salvation helping us even as we face death. Consider Paul and what he wrote. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed," he's talking about his life. He says, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul's saying, you can take my life from me, and this is what I have to look forward to. He would write to the Philippian brethren, "For me to live is Christ, to die is actually gain." It's hard for us to fathom that unless we are thinking in this spiritual way. Because if we're thinking in a worldly way, we're focused on other things. We're focused on those external things around us. We're focusing maybe even on ourselves and not on what God has provided for us, that salvation. And what it provided for Paul was a strong hope. He goes on in that same chapter in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, he says, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, he says, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And we think about this idea of wisdom and knowledge, and that idea of taking the knowledge that God has given us in His Word and being able to see how those who it was maybe first given to, how they reacted to it, how they lived their lives and the benefits of it, begin to show us the wisdom that God is giving to us, that wisdom from above, helping to guide us. And what it is doing is shaping our minds, helping us to train our minds to not be focused here in this life, on this earth, but be thinking about heaven, right? Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It's what it's all about. And so his attitude was a result of that hope. If you back up into chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, all the way back to verse 16, he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man being renewed day by day." So even if we are here in this life and we're thinking about everything around us that could be possibly affecting us and stressing us, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. He's saying the hope that we have, we dare not lose heart. And in that, we find that even if the outward man is passing away, perishing, we are renewed day by day. That can only come by way of having the right mindset that's in Christ. He goes on to say, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen they're just temporary. The things which are not seen, those are the eternal things. Those are the things that matter," is what he's saying. Let's look at another passage of the Apostle Paul here. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" We could stop there and that would be enough, right? If God is for us, who could possibly be against us? Those things working on the outside. You think about all that was going on a couple years ago with all the riots taking place and in the cities, and that were even spreading further out into the in subdivisions outside of those cities. And lo and behold, it may come into small towns eventually in much the same way. Do we worry about those things? Maybe to a degree. Should it be our sole focus? Well, if you were to believe the news media, then it should be your sole focus. That's what you're focused on if you turn on the news. Those type of things, right? But he says, we don't have to fear what man can do. If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, here it is, here are those things, the circumstances of life, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, even the sword? As it is written, he says, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors, he says, through him who loved us. And he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a blessing we have in Christ, right? And so we think about this wisdom, knowledge, salvation, found only of the Lord. What it provides for us is stability, the stability that we need for our lives. And again, wisdom and knowledge providing stability facing life, salvation facing death. Together, the Scriptures tell us that they provide great wealth, the New American Standard says in our passage in Isaiah 33, 5 and 6, or a rich storehouse, some translations will say as well. So what is then the key? What is the key factor here to this idea of stability? I believe it is the fear of the Lord. In fact, when you look at this passage, it begins with verse 5 here. That's why it's connected. The Lord is exalted. He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with both justice as well as righteousness. And therefore, we are to fear before Him, right? The fear of the Lord is His treasure, what He provides for us. Stability for your times. Strength that comes by way of salvation. And so the key to this stability is the fear of the Lord. To have that wisdom and knowledge, you go to the Proverbs again, Proverbs 1 verse 7, we find it is the beginning of knowledge, that fear of the Lord. It is also the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 and verse 10. And so that idea, it is essential to have the fear of the Lord, or else the wisdom and knowledge, it's not going to come to us in that way. And in the receiving of salvation, again, the fear of the Lord is necessary to be accepted by God. In Acts chapter 10, when the Apostle Peter says, opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive God shows no partialities, no respecter of persons, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted of Him." And so salvation, in order to receive it, it is necessary to have that proper fear of the Lord. That's the key to unlocking salvation. That's the key to unlocking wisdom and knowledge. This message of salvation, then, is given to those who have it. In Acts chapter 13, verse 26, interesting passage, but the crux of it all is that you have to have the right kind of disposition to it. You have to be open to it. If you have a closed mind, nothing's coming in. You have to open the mind. You have to have a proper respect and fear and reverence for God for those things to even be acceptable to you in your life. In fact, he is making the comparison in that passage in Acts 13, 26 between those who had received it and those who should have received it. The Jewish leaders should have received it, but they didn't. And that was the point that he was making. It is necessary for spiritual growth, fearing the Lord. I probably sound like a broken record from the 25 years that I've been preaching, and as long as the Lord will let me preach the gospel, I will sound like a broken record, because this is what it boils down to. We have to be growing in our faith. And if we're not, then maybe where we begin is thinking about looking within. Do I have a proper respect and awe of God? If I do, then it'll lead me in that right way. If I don't, then I'll be found lacking. That's the difference. That's the key to that stability. In Proverbs 16:6, we find that fear is necessary because it helps one to depart evil. The fear of the Lord, by the fear of the Lord, it says, one departs evil. And so a reverence for God, His righteousness, His judgments are an effective motivation to get us in the right direction. Departing evil, turning toward God. But also we find Proverbs 14:26. It says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. There's a place of refuge, a place of stability, in other words. And so when we turn to God, the fear of the Lord becomes a source of great blessing to us all. And such wisdom, such knowledge, such salvation, such confidence, refuge. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14, verse 27. And so the study from Isaiah for us indicates that those who lack stability in troubled times do so because they're lacking wisdom, knowledge, and that salvation of the Lord. And the key to having that is a proper fear of the Lord. And so I have to ask each of us tonight as we look within, do I fear the Lord? Do I fear Him because of who He is? He is the Creator. Do I have a healthy respect and fear of the Lord because He has offered man salvation through the sending of His only begotten Son? Do I reverence Him enough to do what He says? Jesus says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6, 46. Hebrews 13, 5, it's often quoted, and it's a favorite passage I know of probably many of ours, where it says, the Lord said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. But verse 6 needs to be alongside of that. This is the clincher for us all, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Those things going on around us, those are just circumstances. Those are just part of life. When we stay focused with a healthy amount of fear of the Lord, He will guide us, according to His Word, in the right way. So this evening, if you have a need of salvation, you can obey Jesus, who said, you must believe that I am here, you'll die in sin, John 8, 24. Repent of those sins, Luke 13, verse 3. Confess your faith in Christ. Even before this audience this evening, you could do that. And be baptized to wash away your sins, to have the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Can we encourage you? Can we help you? Can we help one another to walk and have that stability in this life that comes from a healthy fear of the Lord? If we can help you, come to the front while we stand.